Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Turn to Exodus chapter 6. I've preached off this actual chapter before, and I was just feeling like I want to kind of revisit it tonight. I want to talk to you about dealing with discouragement. I just feel like there's just some things going on. There's some people's lives that are really facing some hard times right now. And you know, it's funny because when I was getting this ready, I thought to myself, what a great encouraging message for a Pastor Appreciation Sunday night. Let's talk about discouragement. But the hope is that maybe you wouldn't leave here discouraged. And let me give you just a few things I do know about discouragement. First of all, everyone gets discouraged. There's not one person in here that has never been discouraged. We've all had moments that we've been discouraged. We've all had times. There's people in the Bible, chapter in chapter after chapter, and sometimes verse by verse, where people have been discouraged. The second thing we know is that discouragement is contagious. That it's easy to, you ever get down around somebody and they walk down and all of a sudden their attitude and their atmosphere that they bring into the room brings everybody else down? And after a while, everybody feels kind of sad and sorrowful. Some of you thinking somebody right now, aren't you? Yeah, we all have that person. We have Debbie Downer. We have that person who walks in. No offense, Debbie, I wouldn't talk about you. you try to find a name that nobody, but everybody's got a name in here. But there's always somebody. You know, you're like, man, what a wonderful day. Yeah, I heard it's going to snow tomorrow. Thanks, you know. Hey, what a great game. Yeah, but it's the only one they're going to win. You know, there's just always that person that brings it. After a while, you just feel like, I've left people, and I felt like I need to go to counseling after I left them, you know. There's been those moments. The third thing is discouragement keeps us from being effective for God. There's a great quote by Mary McLeod Bethune. It said, neither God nor man can use a discouraged man. And I think it's true that it's very hard to use someone who's discouraged and help them get past this moment. Fourth thing is discouragement has a tendency to cause us to isolate ourselves and focus on ourselves. When you're discouraged, you kind of separate yourself off, you isolate yourself, and you can only focus on ourselves. We call it throwing a pity party, right? And we all have those moments. And the last thing is discouragement is a temporary loss of perspective. When you have a discouragement, you have a temporary loss of perspective. You don't have a true perspective of the way things are going on. You have a temporary loss of reality, and you're kind of doomed to that little bit of perspective that you have in that moment when everything seems to go down. Discouragement comes a lot of times in the Bible before a great blessing, though. Do you know how many times you find someone that's discouraged? You find Elijah. Elijah is sitting under a juniper tree and thinking, I'm the only one, God. Nobody knows. It's all about me. Poor me, God. And God's like, are you kidding me? And so he leads him up to a mountain, and we know this great big, the thunder comes through and the earthquake and all this thing comes through. And God wasn't any of that in the still small voice. But we know that he continued to do great things. We know that he was discouraged before he even handed everything off to Elisha. And there's many times that as we read in the scriptures that it just seemed like the overwhelming odds were against them. And we find this. And so in Exodus chapter 6, you find where the children of Israel have been in a deep bondage with Pharaoh's had them under his. They were slaves for 400 years. They were slaves. And as they're in slavery and they're in bondage, they just feel this overwhelming boot. And so God's trying to speak to them and speak encouragement to them in their life. And you find it exactly how they deal with it. And so in Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 9, it says, then the Lord told Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. And when he feels the forces of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. And of course, we know that's true. That's exactly what happened. And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. Verse 5. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I am well aware of my covenant with them. He hasn't forgot them. He says, I have heard their groans. I have not forgotten them. I know what's going on. Verse 6, therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. And I will redeem you with a powerful arm and the great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said. And isn't this something? But they refused to listen anymore. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Isn't that something? Can you imagine? Here's God, and he's saying, listen, I have come to set you free. I have come to bring deliverance. I know that it's been hard. I know that times have been troubled. I know that problems have been great. I know that you felt like you would never get out of this. And all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord comes to Moses and speaks a word to the people. It's the first time that they've had a prophet and to come to them and tell them that he's going to deliver them. He's saying, listen, here's all the things I'm going to do for you. And out of that, they said they wouldn't listen. They didn't want to hear anymore. Why? Because they become too discouraged. You know, I've met people like that. And they haven't been under hundreds of years of slavery, and they haven't been under Pharaoh's boot, and they haven't felt the master's whip. But I'll tell you, I've met people that have been so discouraged and overtaken by spirits of oppression and of bondage, and their heart just is so overwhelmed that they feel like there's no way out. And when you try to tell them, listen, God is going to deliver you, let's pray for this, they just don't see a way out. So why did the children feel so Israel? Why did the children of Israel feel so sad, so bad? Number one, their situation seemed hopeless. Over 400 years they had been in bondage. They didn't see, if they'd been in there 400 years, why would anything change now? In 400 years, people have died. People have gone on. There's people who've been born and raised in slavery. All they've known is slavery. They didn't know anything different. They didn't see a way out. Second of all, they hadn't experienced God's deliverance. They have never been a part of God's delivering power. They've never seen. They heard about it, but they've never had a personal experience. And sometimes it's hard to see God encourage you and tell you that he's going to bring you out and deliver you from what you're going through if you've never had a personal experience of deliverance. Doesn't matter that other people have. It doesn't matter what God had done for grandma and grandpa. It doesn't matter what God had done for someone else. If I haven't personally experienced God's deliverance and God's mighty power setting free and encouragement, then how can I believe that he's going to do anything different now? The third thing is their problem had lasted for so many years. The problem is it had gone on for so long that they thought, why would it ever change? And they were physically and emotionally exhausted. They had, every time they cried out, every time they prayed, every time they begged, all they felt was it got harder. Every time that they heard that God was coming, they believed and they cried out and they just got pushed down, kicked, beat, whipped, and their slavery and their hardship and their bondage became heavier. All of a sudden, they were totally just wiped out. There was nothing. They saw no way out. But I want to tell you just a few things, and then we'll go eat. There's some unlistened to lessons here in Exodus chapter 6. Number one, God hears us when we're hurting. God, we may not think that he hears us. We may not think that when we cry out, but God hears us when we cry out. God hears us when we pray. God, listen, the children of Israel, they were at a place, they were under 400 years of captivity, 400 years of praying. Every time they complained and prayed, all they felt was it got harder. Pharaoh increased their load. Instead of associating prayer and complaining with deliverance and redemption and relief, they only felt more bondage, more heavy-handed and heavier taskmasters. And they didn't realize that God heard their prayer. Why did they fail to understand that God hears while they're hurting? Because maybe, you know, and why do we fail to hear God's hears our prayer when we're crying out? Sometimes we have a pain problem. We're hurting too bad to hear anything else. Sometimes we're hurting so bad, it's hard to be encouraged when you feel such pain. See, for some of us, it's hard to understand that we could be in so much pain that if someone had an answer that we couldn't hear it. But some people understand that sometimes you're in so much pain and you feel so much agony and you're overwhelmed by grief, overwhelmed by oppression, you're overwhelmed by those feelings and those emotions, and you just don't see any way out, that you just can't hear God even when he tries to speak. And for some people, it's just so desperate, and they're just wanting to hear, and they're begging, and they're saying, God, give me a sign, but they're in so much pain, they can't hear what God's trying to tell them. Sometimes there's a timing issue. Sometimes what we're praying for doesn't line up with God's timing, and God's timing is always perfect, but it's not always perfectly in line with me. Because I have my way and my time frame, and it's very impatient. I know that it's hard for y'all who know me very well to know that I'm not patient, but I'm not a patient person. You know? If we're saying we're going to do something, we should have already done it. It should already be done. Let's make it happen. It's hard, and so usually when I'm dragging my feet, it's because I'm internally fighting it. I'm making myself drag my feet, not because I desire to drag my feet. It's because everything within me is telling me to slow down. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I find that problem, you know? Slow down. Because I just want to share my heart, and I just want to do it. And sometimes through the concept and the process of all that, it's just so hard because the timing's off. The third thing is we may have an attitude problem. Sometimes when my attitude's not right, it's hard because when my attitude's poor, sometimes my ability to hear what God's trying to tell me is poor. And so my attitude gets worse and worse and worse and worse. You ever argue with someone like that? They just have a sorry attitude. If you tell them, listen, that's red. No, it's not. It's a deep maroon. Okay, it's a deep maroon. No, it's burgundy. It's crimson red. You know, I don't know what they want to argue over. But, you know, just whatever it is, it just seems like they just have a bad attitude. If you say God is going to do something great, you're like, maybe. There's always those people. And it's tough to talk to someone. And the third and the fourth thing is sometimes the reason why we fail to hear God's voice is we may have a faith problem. Sometimes it's just hard to believe. And I wrote this quote down. It says, unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances. See, faith helps us to see God first before we see the problem. Faith helps me to see God in between me and my problem so that I know that God can help me overcome and get through every situation. But when I don't have faith, I can't see God. All I can see is the problem. And what happens is the problem draws nearer and nearer, and all I can see is the problem. I can't see the answer. So sometimes we just simply have that faith problem, and it's hard to hear God. So here we go. When we get back to the heart of it, and we get to this, the second unlistened to lesson is the problems that you have and that the things that you're going through, the problems that you have. Sorry, I lost my spot. There we are. You can read it behind me, though. The problems that you and I have make it possible for us to know God in a greater way than if we have not had difficulties in situations. So if we would never have gone through problems, if we've never gone through difficult situations, we would never know God the way we know God. The greatest thing we do is when we go through problems, all of a sudden we realize he's deliverer. He's the answer to all things. He can give us joy in the midst of horrible circumstances and horrible situations. You see, what they didn't hear here in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, is they would have seen that 8 times God said, I will do. I'm not just a God that knows. I'm a God that will do. Look at verse 1. I will go. Verse 6. I will bring you out of your bondage. I will deliver bondage. I will redeem you. Verse 7, I will take you as my people and be your God. In verse 8, I will bring you into a land and I will give you possession. I will. All these things God will, but they were so discouraged they couldn't hear anything that God said. And as I was thinking about tonight, I thought about how many people I've been praying over. Because here at our church office, we get calls, we get texts, we get direct messages on Facebook, on Instagram. We get all these messages for all these prayer requests. There's so many people that are just so discouraged, and they just don't see a way out. They've been sick for so long, they don't see any way of healing. They've been hurting for so long. Their marriage has been in such turmoil for so long. Their kids have been in turmoil for so long. Their job has been in jeopardy for so long. All these things, it seems like one thing after another, and it doesn't seem like there's any way, and there's just such a discouragement. But God is wanting us to know as a people that if we will lean heavily on Him, He will restore us and He will bring out a good... Listen, God has an answer. God wants to heal, deliver, and set us free. That is His desire. When we pray that it's by His stripes you're healed, we mean it's by your stripes, His stripes, God's stripes, the stripes that Jesus took upon His back that we are healed. When we say that we can be delivered from all sorts of things, we know that Jesus went around delivering all people oppressed and possessed by all sorts of spirits. He went around and He said, greater works than this that you'll do. We know, we talked about the power of the Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's purpose is in our life. And because of this, we know that God wants to deliver us and set us free and do all these things for us. But it's hard to hear God when you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances. But God is greater than the circumstances that you're facing tonight and the circumstances you're going to face tomorrow, even when it doesn't feel like. You can find, listen, there's joy in the morning. Sorrow lasts for the night. There's a season of sorrow. There's a season where it's hard to see anything else. But if you trust Him, joy will come. I'm just ready for morning time. I'm ready for, not morning time like 7 a.m., I'm talking about morning time in my spirit when something begins to change and the season begins to change and all of a sudden God shines light upon the problems and all of a sudden I can see light and I can see clearly through the problems that I've been facing and overwhelmed with. All of a sudden God says, see, there is a way, there's a path. If you'll just trust me, I'm going to lead you through this. What if we could just trust God through every circumstance?